competitions. And up first is the, I think we took these in order of when we received the petitions. So the Madison River Foundation.
My name is Quincy Johnson. I'm here today to represent the Madison River Foundation. The Madison River Foundation preserves, protects, and enhances the Madison River. We have over 1,000 members from across Montana and the country. The foundation has been supporting FWP's recommendation to protect the Madison River fishery from decline since they sent proposed rules to the commission in April 2018. I am here again today to reiterate what we have been saying since day one. The biologists at FWP say we are at a tipping point and need regulations to prevent the river from declining from overuse. Submitted the petition through the ARMA rule because of our disappointment in the lack of action from the commission. We submitted the same rules proposed by FWP because their data backs this up and they're the experts with a track record for protecting the future of Montana's rivers. There is too much use. We understand one day all use will need to be capped, but starting with those that profit from a public resource is the right first step. I get dozens of phone calls and emails a day from anglers talking about the need for a walkway section to be enforced the way it was intended. FWP data shows that people have wanted this since the 50s. To those that argue this is about access, it's not. State attorneys have verified this. I've walked both sections from top to bottom myself, and I think as you can see, I'm not that large, nor do I own property along the river, nor do most that I hear from. We have different designations for public lands to meet a variety of users, and this could be the same. There's plenty of other river to float fish. Closing sections of the Madison from float fishing is not a new concept. In 1959, the river was closed down to float fishing from Hebgen Dam to Varney Bridge. In 1967, float fishing closure was rotated between two reaches of river each year. Rest and rotation works well and is highly approved of on other Montana rivers. It could work well on the Madison, too. Banning glass is good for everyone. I think of the people that have emailed me stories about their children and grandchildren kneeling down in the river to take a picture with a trout and cutting their knee open on broken glass. Creating primitive designation is the smart thing to do. As the human population continues to grow and expand, and mitigating the effects of climate change remains an uphill battle, protecting primitive areas is important to preserving the last best places of Montana. This river is a public resource. It belongs to all of us. Suggestions that commercial interests should create the rules that regulate them is irresponsible. As one member said to me, we don't allow oil and gas companies to write regulations for drilling on public lands, so why would we allow fishing guides to be the ones who decide the fate of a public river? Especially when the premise of their suggestion is a biological insurance plan. To let a river decline before taking action is beyond negligent and possibly a fatal mistake that both the river and local economy could never recover from. Also that commercial users could continue to grow and profit from the resource. There have been a lot of comments from large outfitters that the FWP plan would allow for too much growth, but as we've said from the beginning, you can't look at FWP's rules individually. You must look at it holistically as a way to preserve the health of the river and the experience of the public. 2,000% growth would not happen overnight. FWP's recommended rules involve a 5-year review to reflect future changes in use, satisfaction of users, and conditions of the fishery. So anyone with any business sense knows that 2,000% growth in 5 years is not possible. If during the five-year review, the cap, rest and rotation, commercial-free sections, and weight-only sections had not reduced use, would be proposed. Some outfitters are claiming they are supportive of regulations and always have been, but you don't have to dig far to see they're only interested if it means the monetization of days, making large outfitters millions of dollars when they sell their days. When they say historical use allocation of days, this is what they mean. When these guides and outfitters started here, their days were not worth anything, nor did they have to buy in. So why should the next generation? This is what happened on the Big Hole River, and no longer can an average Montana become a fishing outfitter. It just isn't in line with Montana values to be profiting off owning a public resource. I'd hate to see the same mistakes that were made on the Big Hole repeated on the Madison. Want to do this based on allocation? Look at Michigan's method. The state owns the days, and outfitters buy their days from the state. The outfitters are happy, the resources are healthy, and anglers have a positive experience. In April of 2018, Montanans' voices weren't heard, as most Montanans can't attend a meeting from 9 to 5. Not to mention, the conversation around a recreation plan has been far from civil. When people have disagreed, they have been threatened with violence, their home has been vandalized, and their car broken into. This is not conducive for people who want to speak up. With that, I ask you send the proposal to public comment so the public can weigh in with comments over a longer period of time than one meeting that takes place during a work day. I promise you'll hear what I hear every day. Protect the Madison River before it's too late. I'm now going to read a letter from Craig and Jackie Matthews, lifetime members of the Madison River Foundation. Serve, protect, and enhance the Madison River. Pure and simple, a mission statement of the Madison River Foundation. Nowhere in that statement will you find anything about the foundation supporting unlimited outfitting and guiding services on the limited natural resources of the Madison, or increasing business opportunities for local businesses. The mission of MRF is both simple and complex. Dealing with social issues like river user conflict, as is the case here, often means drawing lines in the sand and pitting users and neighbors against one another. We admire MRF's ambition, guts, and drive. The Foundation's former executive director, Lauren Wittorp, has tried to develop partnership with river users to help achieve MRF's mission, in this case, protecting the river. The river owes no one a living. We all owe it our respect, protection, preservation, and enhancement in order to pass it on in better shape to our kids and grandkids. The state of Montana has given us a golden opportunity to develop a plan, a model for river use going forward into the future. The state desires public river users, outfitters and guides, and advocacy groups to come together and make this plan a reality. Make no mistake, with the growth of Bozeman and Big Sky, the Madison Valley, and points beyond river use will increase, social conflicts will become more prevalent no matter what we do. If we do nothing to reach consensus and address the issues before us, like we've seen indicated in recent river surveys, the state will put limits on usage, leaving us with our heads in the sand. I've been in the fly fishing business for over 40 years. We talk with hundreds, if not thousands, of anglers from West Yellowstone, Bozeman, and Ennis to London, New York, and San Francisco. The number one issue most raised is overcrowding, social user conflict, while fishing the river. We often hear grumblings like, I won't spend $600 to fish in a floating armada again, or we walked downstream of $3 bridge access site only to have boats float in on us while we were fishing. There needs to be a cap on commercial use, mindful that public use may be next. We are proud and privileged to have worked on land conservation, private-public partnerships, and land deals that have transferred into public ownership and conservation easements miles of the Madison River. We have two awards that are on our fishing room wall that come from this work, one from the state of Montana and one from the Trust for Public Land. The first for helping out on the $3 bridge project, and the other for our work with TPL on the Olifee Ranch easement. Together, both preserve, protect, and enhance nearly 5 miles of the Madison River's shoreline, allowing public access forever. If we sat back and did nothing, this property would have been subdivided, wild trout habitat destroyed, and access denied. But with partnerships and hard work, we put it together for sportsmen and women of Montana and around the world to fish and enjoy forever. Several years ago, when the Walk Wade stretch of this river was designated Walk Wade, no mention of floating, that section from Earthquake Lake to Lions Bridge, the short stretch of river was designated for those anglers wishing to walk and wade fish without conflict of boat traffic. The state's good neighbor policy made sure those landowners partnering to bring about conservation easements discussed above were assured of no boat launching and more. One of those landowners allows specifically handicapped parking at an access site. And with the Madison River Foundation's river restoration project at $3 Bridge, access will be easier with the new trails and walkways built through spring and seep areas. With Montana Stream Access Law, the public is allowed walking access along the miles of riverbank that run through short sections of private property that separate the longer public access easement areas. We read that this would be privatized by prohibiting boat access to anglers, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing in the Madison River Recreation Plan comes close to suggesting any public land would be privatized and turned over to private landowners. On no other river in Montana is there as much public water accessible for wading anglers as there is on the walkway stretch of the Madison River from Reynolds Bridge downstream to Lions Bridge. Wading anglers are asking for a small section of water while floaters can fish over 40 miles. Guides and outfitters could still guide the walk-wade stretch without using a boat. And to simplify the state's fishing regulations allowing for easier law enforcement, we should support the current law that holds that floating with any fishing equipment is considered float fishing, not the current confusing exception made just for the Madison River. I'm reminded of the hard work by pioneers of wild trout management developed on the Madison River. Guides and outfitters like Bud Lilly and Dick McGuire and state fishery biologist Dick Vincent brought catch-and-release angling to the Madison and the end of hatchery trout plants in the river. The local Ennis crowd yelled of the doom and gloom this program would cause the area back then. Today, most locals will admit they were wrong, that the plan has worked and has been used as a model of wild trout management around the country and the world. Today, with the golden opportunity given to us by the state of Montana to develop a river recreation plan, let's begin to work together on that plan so all stakeholders can be proud of the model we develop, leading by example to preserve, protect, and enhance the river for all future generations. Thank you in advance for considering our comments.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Is there any other part of that petition that needs to come forward?